Hello and welcome to Guy Perryman Interviews. Our travel companions today are Christian Saville, guitarist, and Simon Scott, drummer from Slowdive, dreamy indie rock band who were part of Britpop culture of the early 90s, had a 20-year hiatus, and returned with new albums and live shows for the 21st century. The conversation took place backstage at Toyosu Pit, Tokyo, in March 2024, and was first broadcast across Japan on my InterFM radio show. Enjoy the journey. It is wonderful to welcome on board two of Slowdive. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to Tokyo.
Nice to be here.
Where have you just come from?
Yeah, we were in Seoul a couple of days ago, which was great because we hadn't been there in like 6 or 7 years. Yeah. And yeah, we had a couple of days in Japan and then onwards.
Onwards and upwards, or onwards and downwards.
Onwards and sideways, yeah.
Sideways, there you go. Speaking of Japan, I always ask everyone, you've been here before, is there something about Japan you love that maybe the world don't know about, you'd love to share with people?
What I really love about it, it's a complete dichotomy. It's very kind of contradictory. You've got nature and this wonderful appreciation of beauty, and then you've got all the technology and the fast pace of life and the pressures that brings. But I love Kyoto, and sadly we're not going there.
Oh.
But I played at the, I think I'm going to pronounce it very, very badly, but I played at Yojengi Temple, which is a Buddhist temple in old Tokyo, maybe 10 years ago, just kind of with some friends as a solo thing. But that was my first trip, and I got to kind of cycle around Tokyo and appreciate it. And we love the food, and we think the audiences really listen, so that's really important for the shows.
People mention this quite a lot. Obviously, Japanese audiences are quieter than other audiences, but they seem to really appreciate the music, I think.
Yeah, I guess it took us a little bit of time to get used to that. I think I remember the first time we played our own show in Tokyo, in Osaka. It was, wondered if we'd done something wrong because it was so quiet. But yeah, at the end, everyone's really appreciative and no one asked for their money back. So,
oh, good.
Yeah.
Going way back to the early 90s, I always think that period of British music especially was so definitive for the times. And for me personally, it was when I first moved to Tokyo, DJing with Virgin Megastores. And so we were playing all the British music. And the Japanese here, of course, loved that era of music. Was it obviously early days for Slowdive, but do you think it was a definitive moment in music too, and for personal reasons?
I actually think for us as a group, all into the same bands, I think the late 80s was the thing that really kind of made us all want to be in a band. And a few of us are from different, well, I'm from a different place, but we all used to go to the same gigs and see Spaceman 3 and Loop, My Bloody Valentine. And that was a really inspiring period of music that kind of came out of the Cocteau Twins and, yeah, those bands that kind of set the seeds for us, Riot and Chapter House and Lush. So the early 90s, I mean, we've got probably mixed emotions about it because we had a really good time signing to Creation, releasing 2 or 3 albums, but people didn't really like the records very much, and the press kind of had a bit of a field day. So it's kind of bittersweet.
I think about that, and of course all the things I've read, the nastiness from a small group of the music press. How do you deal with that in a public environment?
Well, I guess we were so young and a bit kind of naive that we didn't really know, but I guess it was a bit tough at the time. But what else can you do? You just have to suck it up, really.
Get on with it.
Yes, so get on with it, basically.
Yeah. And with the records that we did make, we thought they were good.
So did I.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, you're the one person that bought records in Japan. No, but, you know, like, you go in the studio and you make the music you want to make. And if the press hate it and it doesn't get in the charts, nobody really cares. Mm. And the irony is here we are today. And exactly. People are buying our records and we're in the charts. So what the hell does the enemy know?
Well, that's exactly what I wanted to say. As we fast forward to now 2024, and big gap in the middle there with no Slowdive. I presume bands are like family. You have the love, you have the drama, you have the breakups, you have the makeups. Why such a long gap, and why getting back together again?
I think when the band finished the first time around, you know, I think it kind of reached a natural end, and it just felt like that was it. You know, it was great fun, and that was just a natural end. So, and then, you know, we were in our mid-20s, so you kind of do other things, have families, all that kind of stuff. I don't think we ever really thought about getting back together, but then, you know, I guess around 2010, I guess I definitely noticed that more people were talking about the band and stuff, and not just us but other bands, and so it became more kind of viable for us as well, because it's the right time, I guess.
and the album Everything Is Alive. How different for you personally, mentally, as songwriters and musicians? Was that a different inspiration for what you were doing when you were in your 20s?
Yeah, of course. We were all older and greyer. And
any wiser?
There's a few divorces now in the band, unfortunately. Yeah, we're making different music, but I mean, we really appreciate being back. And it kind of feels like we've been given like this sort of second chance, like we did before, just making the records we want to make, really, and enjoying it and appreciating it. And again, if people turn up and say, I don't like it, then sorry, well, don't come to another show, don't listen to the record. But we're all older, not particularly wiser, we're still the same people, really. But we all get on like we used to and still get excited about some of the similar bands that are coming out that might be shoegaze or whether it's electronic music, or we still kind of geek out on records and we still go to gigs, don't we? Still go for dinner together and have a beer together, so we're still going all right.
We're backstage about an hour, a couple of hours before your show here in Tokyo, and there were already people lined up out front to join the show tonight, the audience. So obviously a lot of people here in Tokyo are very happy that you're here. Do you all love still performing live?
Yeah, I mean, it's insane. You know, we're thousands of miles away from home and, you know, there's people here to see us, you know, which is kind of wherever we go, it's crazy. And especially now that there's so many kids coming to the shows who weren't even born when we put the records out first time around, so that's kind of crazy.
And festivals too. I see that you've got loads of live dates coming up and festivals coming up this summer. But Glastonbury 2023, how was that?
Weird, because Dave Grohl was standing down there watching us.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was, the whole place was full of legends, you know. I think for a few of us, we'd never done it, and it was like kind of bucket list tick, you know, just to get to do Glastonbury when it's probably the most famous festival in the world. It's a real honour. Mm. And to come and do Fuji Rock, we've done that now, what, three times? It's like, come on, Glastonbury.
You
know.
You had your warm-up over here. So.
Sort of. But, I mean, you know, it's always a privilege just to be asked to go and do a show. And some of the festivals we've done have been, like, the whole lineup's been amazing. And then you find out, you know, you're on and the Pixies are playing. And, you know, somebody really cool is playing as well. I played Radiohead 1 year. And you kind of have to pinch yourself and think, you know, before we reformed, we all had day jobs, and now we're playing this massive place with, you know, Foo Fighters or Radiohead. Or
Glastonbury is kind of like a bit of a marker in the UK, at least, is if your band's like a bunch of losers or not. So before people would, one of the first questions they would ask if you, when they hear you're in a band, is, have you played Glastonbury? And if you say, no, I haven't, they'd be like, oh, right, you're just playing pubs or whatever. But if you say, well, yeah, suddenly they think you're like got a mansion and a swimming pool and all that kind of stuff.
They see you on the BBC iPlayer and suddenly your neighbours are all friendly to you. Hello.
I love that.
Oh, did you see Elton John? Say hello to him for me if you see him again. You know, they suddenly think you're, like, as Christian said, like a professional musician.
Oh.
You know, which is quite weird, but it's...
It was interesting, you mentioned before you reformed you had day jobs. What were the day jobs?
Rachel did, I hope she doesn't mind me saying, but she was doing clerical work. I was working as a chef and doing some music stuff as well. But
I was a janitor in the USA for a bit. That was quite interesting. Nick was in IT. I did a bit of IT stuff.
Neil was picking strawberries at one point. Oh. So we've all done stuff to pay the rent. And so to do this without having to get a job because we're so busy, have a record deal again, it's like, it's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah.
And as I keep saying, we really are privileged and really kind of flattered to be back and selling out concerts like this.
I think especially in 2024 when it's so hard to make money in the music business.
Yeah, I don't know how, I mean, we were discussing this the other day about, you know, we've been lucky to have some really great young support bands and seeing how hard it is for them. Really, really hard for bands to just be able to do this, to give it a good shot, you know, because it's just really, really hard these days, I think.
You've kept the passion alive, and that's something I always love to talk about with people, is the power of music. Thank you to the musicians who make the music that make our lives happy. But for all of you in maybe tough times in your lives, have you always turned to music? Has music been there for you as some sort of very strong support?
Yeah, always. Yeah, in the last 4 years, I've lost my mum and dad, and made writing music as well as listening to music, being in a band and having the support of my bandmates has always been really special. We all still buy music. And
yeah, it's a tricky one though, because, like, yeah, music's been ever present, but there's also, because sometimes music is so emotive that sometimes you can't listen to it because it actually makes you more upset. I definitely had a little period in my life where I'm like, I can't listen to music.
We're going on a journey, leaving Japan. It's a bit like Desert Island Disc, because you can have your passport, mobile device and a credit card. What's one other thing you must have in your life?
A good night's sleep.
Oh, you take that with you.
Somewhere really quiet. Somewhere super quiet.
A bath, maybe?
I don't know. Yeah, something like that.
You're in the right country for that. Yeah. You can go to a centre or an onsen. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice to have a bath and chill out. Or maybe the radio, something like that.
Oh.
So you can listen to the cricket or something like that.
You listen to the cricket on the radio?
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, it's quite relaxing.
How do you visualise it? What are you doing when you listen to cricket?
Actually, it's just kind of like being in a room with some old friends who are just sort of chatting away, and you can just zone out. You can just dip in and out of it. And it's just kind of like a comfort blanket, I think, more than anything.
Yeah, I love it. Okay. Finally, on your journey, you can have a travel companion. Who would you love to sit down and have a conversation with? Anyone from history or alive today?
It'd be nice to speak to the Buddha, see how he handled all that life through him and came out a stronger person.
That would be a very interesting conversation.
Wouldn't it?
Maybe Maradona or someone like that. Yeah, George Best or some like incredible sportsman.
You mentioned cricket and now football.
Yeah. Always wanted to be good at sport, but just wasn't. And then I've met a couple of people who were good at sport, professional footballers and stuff, and they always said, oh, I wanted to be in a band and stuff, so.
Enjoy your time in Japan. Have a fabulous tour across Asia and onwards, dates across the US and festivals in the UK. So have a brilliant springtime and summertime. Slow Dive, thank you so much for the music
on
the tour.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us all.
And thank you for joining us today. For more interviews and information, please go to guyperryman.com.